Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every kilo someone stole, every kilo someone lost, someone paid for it. It might not have been with drug money. It might have been paid with your mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
But someone paid for it.
Or
their life.
Yeah. Just kill him and we...
And we even.
If you were a different character-wise, it might have created a problem. Because if they see that your temperament is aggressive, they think you're going to fuck it up.
St. Jackson.
And I'm Charlie Webster.
And this is Surviving El Chapo. The twins who brought down the drug war.
Jay and Pete found a business partner in a man named Guadalupe, or Lupe, who they called Uncle. He became a close family friend of the twins. But things started to unravel after Lupe tried to take over the twins' business. Lupe blamed them for a debt he owed to Chapo. So Chapo kidnapped Pete until the money could be paid. Jay had to take a journey to straighten things out.
For Jay, just coming face to face with El Chapo is insane. But your brother's life is hanging in the balance. One wrong word could instantly end both of your lives. For Chapo, execution is part of his daily routine, the same way you or I might check our emails every day.
Jay's mission was to convince the world's most notorious drug lord that Lupe, the man that Chapo trusted and had a long-standing business relationship with, was the one who was lying to him.
Chapo reaches out his hand and he let Paul King Guzman Loera. I tell him my name, Margarito Flores. He's just staring at me, dry stare, just staring at me. And I'm like trying to give back my hand a little bit. And so how could I help you? I said, well, sir, I'm here because I'm here for my brother.
Yep. You have my $10 million?
And I said, well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Like, I don't owe $10 million. Everyone says that. And I said, I'm here just kind of trying to work this out with you. And I've been, you know, a good customer for many years and I don't owe that money. And I'm here to see if I could work something out for my brother. And he's like,
why would I believe that you don't owe that money?
Guadalupe says you owe that money, and I believe him. He's a friend of mine. I said, well, sir, I mean, I wouldn't lie to you. And he's like, this is starting to be a headache. And I'm just quiet. And he said, your brother, he's your twin brother? You guys look alike? I said, yeah. I said, we look alike. And he's like, you made it here. Like, what do you want? Like, you came up here and I have your brother. You know I could just kill you and go about my day, right? I said, yes, sir. I said, but that's why I'm here. I wouldn't come up here wasting your time with a lie. I'm a man of my word, and I thought that that would make the difference. And he said, that's fair. I said, can I just explain it to you? And he said, sure. All right, come on. And he sat down in his chair. He went around, sat down in his chair, and went on the table. And I sat down on the other side, and I grabbed the ledgers. And he's just staring at me. I said, so look, I'm confused because, you know, I thought that Guadalupe, like, I just start kind of just throwing information out there.
So you got the ledgers. So I'm kind of pushing out the ledgers, backpack, like, yeah. Which are in, like, what, exercise books? Like, just notebooks?
Notebooks. So I'm opening my book. I said, first of all, sir, I thought that Lupe was kidnapped with my brother. I don't owe that money, but I know there's a problem because he said that. What? I said, they called me and said that Lupe was kidnapped with my brother. Why? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm lost because I know I owed some money. I've been giving regular payments. There's an old debt, but what about the shipment I just received? And he's like, but you have money. Lupe told me that you're buying houses and horse races and this and that. And I'm like, I'm guilty of that. You know, I came on the run to Mexico on that. I needed to get comfortable, and I figured that the little money I owed him, I'm paying him. To me, it wasn't a debt that wasn't going to be paid, because I'm making payments. I bring my latest ledger out. I said, look, I said, sir, I just gave a payment on this date. You know, my brother got kidnapped, and said, look, I just gave a payment, whatever the case is. And at first he's like, you're showing me a bunch of stuff I could scribble on a piece of paper. I'm like, no, I have all the accounts of all the deposits. I make them. I receive the shipments. And he's like, Lupe said that was his. And I said, Lupe doesn't have no one. Lupe has me. And he's like, Chapio, go give me my ledger. Chapio runs back downstairs, comes back with a notebook. Give me that. And he opens it up. And he puts it there. And he said, what was the date? I kind of walk around the... I said, can I? So I kind of lean over him. And I'm like, the date for the last shipment was this date, which was like a week before my brother got kidnapped. And I'm like, here. And he's like, what day? And he goes down to a bunch of numbers, neat numbers. And he goes down to the dates. And he goes around and he's like, yeah, that was the day that was one of the shipments. And then, like, and then I gave a deposit here and here. Puts his hand in his chin and he's like looking at me. But one of his eyes, his right eye, is just doesn't move. It's just like he got a lazy eye. He has this stare. I know he's thinking. He's just staring at me, and I'm like, awkward, like, so how many kilos are you actually selling? I'm like, well, I sell all the kilos for you. Anywhere from, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 kilos a month for you. And I said, if you do the math, like, I can make that in a month. I just wasn't telling the truth. Like, but I'm not from here. Like, I'm from Chicago, like, I could tell. And where are you from? I'm here in Mexico. I said to them, well, listen, my father's from San Juan. You know, give him my background information. I said, my whole family lives there. And now I'm just here. And I've been on the run, and he kind of just real curious, asking me all kinds of questions. You know, because he asked me, how old are you? You know, stuff like that. Like, where are you from? I know that town, you know? And what does your family do? I'm like, sell drugs. That's it? I'm like, basically. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry to say, but that money's owed to me. Like, the one responsible for that money is Herman Olivares. And I'm not going to forgive that debt. The only thing I could tell you is that you could try to work it out with him, but you have money. Pay you $10 million. And he said, there's no money that's worth losing your brother. I just lost mine, and I would pay whatever it is to just get my brother back. What's disappointed. Then when you come back, we could do business. You could come work for me. I could give you drugs. We could keep making money together. I'm just like, sir, I appreciate you telling me that. Right now, the only thing I'm worried about is getting my brother back. Oh, okay. That's right, sir, okay. And he's like, yeah, pay the money, but I'll arrange a meeting so you can meet Olivares and you could work it out with him. And, you know, I'm going to find out a little bit why is he saying that. So just see what you could do. Come back and see me. Like, go work it out with them and then come back and see me. And he said, did Shapiro take that watch from you? And I said, no, sir. Are you sure? I said, no, sir. I gave it to him. Why would you give it to him? I said, because he's bringing me to meet you. Like, you don't owe him nothing for this. You want your watch back? I said, no, sir. I said, it was a gift. Like, how much is that watch worth? Like $150,000. That's why you don't have the $10 million to pay me, because you want to be giving stuff like that away. Those things won't mean nothing to me. You know, my brother's life is what means everything to me. And I just felt like whoever was helping me deserved something. And he's like, I'll get back your watch. And I'm like, no, that was a little bit like strange to me, because like, he was still being, you know, like, he didn't like the stealing part. He didn't like the somebody taking advantage part. We just made small talk. And he said, excuse me for a while. I think he went somewhere. He answered calls. He did something. Because then he came back. He can't get over that. Lupe was lying. He was like, there's no way. I told him, like, just think about this. Guadalupe told you that we owed him money, but yet he's telling us that he's kidnapped too. And he asked him, Chapir,
is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that's what he told us to say. Chapo was just like, you know, put his hand in his chin, like, he whispered, like,
oh, Lupe, what did you do?
Like, you know, in a light voice. And then he said,
I don't like liars.
I'm just like, quiet, like, I don't like liars. And I said, sir, I'm not saying that he's lying. All I'm saying is that this is a misunderstanding. And he said,
you know, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
And he said,
I'm not letting your brother go. No, I want that money.
But he's like,
this is what I want you to do. I'm going to send you back with a couple of my guys. And you're going to send, you're going to talk to him.
And I was like, are you sure? He's going to know now that we know he's lying.
You're going to put my life in danger now.
He's not going to touch you.
And I was like, well, how do we know that? He said,
because I said so.
It didn't sit well with me. I was just envisioning, like, because I know him. I know what he's capable of, so.
He said, I want you to go back. I want you to buy a recorder. Put it in your pocket. You put it somewhere. Just, I want you to talk to him. I want you to record him. And I want to listen to everything he has to say.
If you record him, and I think he's lying, you know, we'll talk. You're going to be in a better situation. And I was like, oh, that's easy. I want you to tell him that anything happens, I'm telling him right now, if anything happens to him or to one of you guys, whoever you send, I'm going to wipe out his whole family. I was like, oh, shit.
Now I was like, something I probably never thought about, especially not in that business, like recording someone. I remember thinking, like, is that the way he, you know, because he's stuck in the mountains. That the way he was able to like know what was true and what was not, like, because he's not able to sit with people, I guess, you know, physically all the time.
Yeah, you wonder how much was being recorded during that time.
And you know what? Like, every time, like, I couldn't... He would stare at me, like, a lot. Like, sometimes it was, like, a more observation, and sometimes it was, like, a thought stare. Like, observation, I could see him just, like, kind of, like, looking at me, like...
And basically, it was like, okay, well, it was nice meeting you, and good luck. Hopefully, you get your brother back. That hurt. It was almost like I reached this high of thinking everything was going to work out. And I was very disappointed. My first encounter, like meeting him, wasn't like, oh my God. I wasn't impressed. I was scared, for sure. I had been there. I'm there in person when I'm thinking, like, is this the person that everyone's always talking about? Like, and... He was probably looking at me like, who the fuck are you?
I had all those emotions of maybe, oh my God, like I'm here. I did remember thinking, like, be careful what you wish for. I could have been a little bit like starstruck a little bit at the same time. One thing for sure is that he was nothing different from all the, you know, all those older men that my father had introduced me to as a kid.
Went back, same route back. We were getting back kind of late. That whole thing, man, I was exhausted, but I was just like, I was lost. I was back to square one. Like, now I met these people, but still, like, nothing changed. Now, right at that time, I was kind of starting to get upset a little bit, like, why would he do this? And it kind of, like, started making sense. I started putting together that we owe him saying that we owe $10 million was because he must have received a shipment of drugs and tried to branch out without us. That didn't work out. And now he didn't have the money. He needed us to actually pay the debt. And if we were going to stop receiving the same shipments from him, how was he going to pay the debt? And he looked at it like, well, too bad. I'll make them pay and that's their problem. It was shocking to me. Like, I was disappointed. I was kind of feeling lost. And I said, maybe he's right. Maybe I should just, no matter what, pay. I went back that day and Chapio said, listen, I'm going to call you so you could actually meet Olivares, wherever this person is. They call him Olivares. And you could talk to him. Don't worry, you're going to be okay. You're gonna be good. Like, we're gonna work it out. Made our way back. I was so happy to be able to cop out. Like, babe, I'm good. And she's like, what happened? You know, she's still kind of emotional. She's like, what happened? Like, could you imagine I was there for, gone for hours, like 6 hours or something?
But you still hadn't got payback either.
No, bitch. What happened when he was playing? Like, it's not going to, I remember telling her, it's not going to be that easy. And I said, I guess there's a debt. Oh, that kind of explained it to her. And I said, I'm in Chapo. And she's like, what? I said, I'm in Chapo. Are you serious? She said, I said, yeah. And what happened is that he wasn't the nicest person. I remember telling her that.
And he said, don't tell VB.
Don't tell VB anything.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to keep working. And we got to, there's a couple hurdles, but we're going to work it out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Chapo asked me to go and to record Lupe, the man that has, you know, was responsible for putting me in this problem. And now I understand it's not going to be a nice meeting. And I have to go. I can't say no. I'm going to leave my brother behind. Like, then I'm going to look like a liar. And I said, let's go. I'm going to go to Radio Shack. And I bought these little recorders, RCA recorders. I bought one. I kind of like asked the guy, how does this work? And he kind of showed me how it worked. And it had a USB. It has a USB. It was a digital one. Okay, you know, I'll take it. You know, once I had it in my hand, I was like, okay, how do you use this? It's, you know,
just a little bit smaller
than a phone.
Than an iPhone.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, what, half the size and width of an iPhone?
by the recorder, I start like messing with it. And I'm thinking that this meeting is going to happen like soon. A few days, whatever, how many days pass, and finally we get the call, like, it's going to happen today. So he's like, okay, we'll be there in half an hour. I still remember him saying, we're going in peace, right? We're going to talk. And he's okay, just making sure. And he's like, okay, let's go.
Chapo made sure that his men stayed with Jay the entire time until he could figure out who was lying. So it was a team of four who headed out to Lupe's house. Happiness, Sos, Rolly, and Jay.
So we take a couple cars, three cars, I think. We drive past, we actually drive a block. The road is a block away from his home that we have to drive to. Like, I felt that was close to my brother, like, in a weird way, because that was the last spot I know he went to. I have the recorder in my pocket. I keep testing it out, like. When we get to the house, there's a bunch of vehicles there, so that already kind of has me not feeling well. We're jumping out the vehicles. The gate's there. As soon as we walk into the gated part, all of us, the doors open. A bunch of men come out with AR-15s. They have police uniforms on. AR-15, like, keep your hands up, keep your hands up. Lupe comes. The door, he has his 45, his 1911 45 stuck on his hip. His son right behind him. They have like seven men. They have a couple of their security guards. These are 6-7, like federal police or judiciales, right? State police from another state. They are, we all put our hands up. And he sees Japones. And they said, not him. And Japones like, listen, not anyone. We come in peace, like, we come to talk. And I have orders that no one touches. Now I'm nervous. I have the recorder in my pocket. You know, they're gonna search me. I kind of, like, backstep. And then he's like, we need to talk. They're fine. He said, they're fine. Well, I need to talk to you guys. Like, let me talk to you. Let me come inside. Let me talk. Lupe walks inside and we stay in that little porch area and guns pointed at us. What the fuck did I just do? Lupe comes back out. He said, okay, listen, we're going to talk. He comes back out. We're going to talk. I guess the person in charge of that is kind of pointing the AR-15 at me. So he says, turn around. You know, he kind of taps me, turn around. And he just swat the back of my pants, the front of my pants, and he doesn't go on my jeans pants. I have the recorder in my pocket. And he's turning around. He kind of nudges me. And the other guys are searching.
When he was patting you, were you like, oh?
Well, I was hoping, like, hopefully they're so stupid they don't even know what it is, right? It could be a phone, right? In a weird way, also, when I would hear him say, Chapo said, we're here to talk, Chapo sent us, you know, like, it kind of, like, made me feel like I was safe. Chapo said, right? The door's open. I've been to his house plenty of times. Lupe looks at me and he's breathing loud and I just nodded my head and he reached out his hand to shake it and I shook his hand. Shake his hand and he's like, you know, he's breathing like under his nose really like hard and like an angry way. it's in season of like foyer area, like we have to kind of scoot over, you know, to let everyone in. And here comes Sos and Rolly. And he extends his hand to Sos. And Sos says, "Get the fuck out of here." And he pulls his gun. "Motherfucker, you're gonna respect me in my motherfucking house, motherfucker." And they're like, "Hey, you know, like, stop, 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 stop. Like, you know, come on, just stop. Tap on this." It's just like, "So it's just chill." He's like, "Nah, that's bullshit. Like, you're gonna respect me." And he's talking to Spencer, like, "Nah, come on, Lord. Like, how am I gonna respect you? How am I gonna respect you? This is bullshit, like, you know?" And I'm just like, "Just chill. Just chill, you know?" Commotion. Happiness is like still trying to be like, "Listen, just calm down." He just kind of turns his hand away. So they kind of guide me to the dining room. And he puts the gun to my like back, like he's making sure that I'm feeling the gun in my side. They sat me in the head of the table. There's barely enough room for the gunman to kind of like, he had to pull his gun back to kind of like have enough room. And then he just put it right in the back of my head. The whole time he just had it there. It started off like this. I said, "Lupe, why did you do this?" Just like that. And he like, "Shut the fuck." I never seen him like that. Like, "Shut the fuck up." And he got in my face. He's pissed. And I just kind of tried to ignore him and they just started talking. I was like, "Why would you do this? I don't understand. I don't owe you that money." And he's like, "Yes, you fucking do, mother." Like, and shouting, I'm like, let's go to the cuenta. Let's go. Let's look at the numbers. I don't understand. Why would you do this? This kind of went on for a while. He's being recorded, so I know. So I'm kind of trying to provoke that conversation from him. The meeting went on for like an hour and a half of just commotion. In the beginning, I was a little bit timid, but I just said, "Fuck it, man." Like, maybe
Chapo's
men, they kind of gave me that confidence, but I just got upset and I just started shouting back. I was just like, "That's some fucking bullshit. Why the fuck did you come and say that you were kidnapped too? If I'm supposed to owe you this money, why didn't you just fucking come get me? You know where the fuck I live? Like, I'm swearing." And at one point, Lupo took his gun out and hit me. He kind of missed me, but it was with his left hand. He took it off his hip. I went like all that one motion and hit me over my head. And when he did that, everyone got up and like, "Don't fucking touch him. Don't touch him." The barrel of the gun went into my neck. I think it settled me. Like, I was like, "Oh shit, back to reality." Like, was like a loud scream, like commotion. He said, "I'm not gonna let your fucking brother go." He said, "I'll kill him before I let him go." He said, "And as a matter of fact, you're gonna bring me the fucking money. I want my money here." He said, "Go and get your money. You have it. You fucking have a lot of money. You made it. I seen you make the money. All these houses and all these fucking horses and..." Now I see the jealousy. I'm like, "What the fuck is it to you what I buy with my money?" I'm like, he's just throwing all these things at me, like jealousy. I started to just let things go. And I felt like I had enough on the recording to like say, "Okay, I think I was done." We got up, but I kind of sensed that over the time, that barrel of the gun kind of started kind of loosening up a little bit. I went to shake Lupe's hand and he turned away. And I was like, "All right." I shook all the guys' hands there that was there. They walked us out with the guns still raised. And we left. Just just all these thoughts were just going through my head. The recording, I remember jumping in the truck. I stopped the recording. The recording was going for like, I think like 2 hours almost. I tried to play it back and I kind of heard things I didn't want to hear. Like, I'm not even going to listen to this. So we make our way back to Culiacan with the recording. Back to the trip to see Chapo. This time Chapo has actually army fatigues on. And Tim's, he has Tim boots and army fatigues. And he greets me the narco way. You know, hey, like different, like now a little bit more, you know, he's familiar. You know, how are you? Like nice. And he tells me,
you guys got the recording?
Yeah. And he takes the recording from us. And he's like, I don't even know how to work it. So I kind of grabbed it and I just kind of went and I started to kind of, it has that little like, 15 seconds forward, a small forwarding button. I kind of look for that conversation. I just let it play. I'm not going to let your fucking brother go. I'll kill him before I let him go. And as a matter of fact, you're going to bring me the fucking money. I want my money here. Go and get your money. You have it. You fucking have a lot of money. You made it. I seen you make the money. You're going to come buy all these houses and all these fucking horses. And why would you do this? I don't understand.
And he listened to the recording. He just was like kind of lost in the recording.
Shut up.
He listened to it. And he kind of shut it off. He was like,
oh, Lupe, you lied to me. We're going to have to take care of that. But since you've been gone, you know, I talked to, you know, a couple of the people, and no matter what happens, you're going to have to pay that money.
He looked at me, he said,
listen, I just lost my brother not so long ago.
It had been a few months. They had shot his brother while he was in prison. They shot him in prison. He said,
I'll give all the money in the world to have my brother back. Obviously, you're making money. Obviously, you have nice things. Pay the money. You'll have your brother back. And then we'll get back to work.
In my head, I'm like, this is bullshit. This is supposed to be the business I know from Mexico is supposed to be what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And I just showed you that was right, but it didn't matter.
He said, I'm going to put you in contact with some people that are going to collect the money from you. Just work it out. Get your brother back. And then we could do business.
I basically thanked. Okay, thank you. What was I going to do then? I said, appreciate it. And right then and there, I just said, all right, you know what? I'm just going to focus on paying back this money. So I started collecting money, started making payments. I think I had given them like $6 million. It was taking me some time, like I'm collecting money, you know. The hardest part is to collect like all the money off the street. We had just finished paying a debt, you know, from the last Caesar. But we're living, right? Still, I'm thinking, yeah, our company's taking a hit, but we're living. We probably had spent $10 million in just setting up in Mexico. It's taking me a little bit of time and my brother's still tied up. And then next, you know, he's like, it went from being okay to like,
your brother's not doing well.
And he was like,
listen, your brother's sick.
And I remember saying like, sick of what? He like,
I think it's his liver or something.
I guess dehydration.
He's not well, so you need to hurry.
And I remember, like, I was getting anxious. I was like, listen, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to pay you every dollar. But I'm short, I think, like, $4 million. I have around $3 million worth of jewelry that you could hold. I'm not asking you to take it. I'm asking you to hold it. And then I'll pay you back the money.
He said, you know, usually when we take that, we want double.
And I said, listen, I'll give you a deed. You know, I have a deed for a $3 million house and the jewelry. He said,
all right, I'm going to send my brother to look at the stuff.
I remember, I'm like, all right, we kind of set up. And I told Val, Vivian, brought all the jewelry on the table. Listen, we're going to give him the jewelry, but we're going to be fair. I don't care if I spent $500,000 on something. We're going to be really fair. We're not going to over-ask or over-value something. I used to have those insecurities. I used to do dumb things because you could. Who I am today, and at times, I never changed who I was, but sometimes, like, you know how people get drunk and they act stupid? Well, my drunk was a little bit like having money, you know, my drunkness. So I might be like, be happy when they spend $500,000 in jewelry. Christmas will come and we could spend $1 million on gifts.
Wow.
Not for me, for my associates, for my workers, just gifts. The jeweler came in handy there. Because I remember he brought a jeweler with him to appraise the jewelry. And I'll never forget when he was seeing the big pieces. And he whispered something. Shh. And he's like, could you give me a minute in my house? I walked away. He's like, sure. And he came back. He said, hey, we have a problem. Some of these things are way more than, you know, Val had put tags on them. Tags on every little piece. So some of these pieces are way more worth more than
what you
said. I said, listen, I'm not here to play games. I know they are. I just wanted to be fair. And then they looked at me like, I go, okay. He only saw, like, he didn't see all the pieces. After that, they were like, let's not even think about it. Let's just take it.
So they just grabbed it.
Like, okay, like, they didn't finish seeing it. After that, they took my word, like, and I remember he called his brother, he said,
hey, I'm here with this guate, you know? He said, you're going to be surprised. He undervalued all the jewelry, so if he tells you he has four, it's really more, but all right. He got $4 million worth of jewelry, and he has a deed here for a big-ass house.
The next day, I get a call early in the morning. It's Olivares. He says,
hey, listen, your brother's not well.
And he said,
everything that, you know, I've known of you seems like you're a man of your word. And that says a lot.
He said,
I don't want your house. I don't want your jewelry. I want my money. Now you give me your word that you're going to pay me back my money, and I'll let your brother go today.
He said,
it's Mother's Day. I could only imagine what your mom is feeling. And your mom should have a good Mother's Day.
And I said, you're putting me in a situation that anyone in my situation would give you the word. But I mean that. You have my word. Not because I don't have a choice, because I want my shit back. And he was like,
all right, I'll get back to you.
And hung up. I remember he called an hour later and he said,
could you believe this fucking old man don't want to let your brother go?
Who was he referring to?
To Lupe.
In
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
I got sick, like I was in pain. I had like a really sharp pain on my right side of my stomach. I remember just having all those deep emotions in my heart. Like, I remember hearing them, they're gonna bring me a doctor, thinking what kind of doctor comes and treats a captive person. At least they're not letting me die. And then once they see me in like a really bad condition, maybe around the 14 day, they come straight to offer me food that they cook. You know, like, you gotta eat. You're gonna die, you're not gonna try to make it out. I could see it, you're not looking good. And then he tells me, and I've seen people die like this. Great, thanks. But I couldn't eat. Like, by that time, my appetite was...
You're not eating for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I couldn't even eat, but he bought me some... the Mexican, like, cookies with the marshmallow and the cocoa on them, you know? And I remember, like, trying to eat some, and he bought me some Gatorade, and it's been a little more, like, there was no sense of him keep torturing me. Like, he's looking at me probably, like, yeah, you're not looking too good.
And this whole time, were they, like, trying to get anything out of you?
Nah, the only thing they said to me, I work for Chapo Mayo, like, no.
You know who Chapo Mayo?
And that's what struck me as weird. I wouldn't say much, you know? And I could hear the radios and chatting on the radios and stuff. And, you know, they're in their combat boots and they have their full, you know, army gear. And I'm just sitting there. One night, like 2 a.m, I hear a lot of commotion. And I was just like, oh shit, what's going on, yeah? They get me up, like, come on, get up. And I realized how weak I felt and how fatigued I felt. Walk me out. They put me back on the truck. They drive me. They drive me. And they, I see, you know, it's dark, completely pitch dark. The roads don't have lights, like, you know, street lights and highway lights. And they veer off the road again to another bumpy road for like maybe 10 minutes.
What were you thinking at that time?
That was scary. That was probably the scariest. They finally stopped. They pulled me out. He walks me towards the back of the vehicle. I see the red of the brake lights. I could, you know. And I'm just kind of standing there. And he kicks me in the back of the knees. In that moment, I was like, there's a hole somewhere. I remember thinking, like, I'm not even going to say nothing. I'm going to hold my peace and just, whatever happens does not matter here, you know? Just thinking about my brother. Feeling so much regret at the same time. A little bit of peace. But sad to think like that's the way you live your life, your short life. I don't think anyone's ready for that, you know? Once that happens, I feel him doing something to my back pocket. I feel him doing something, you know what I mean? I feel him like messing with my shoes, you know? I remember thinking, like, I wish I had paper and pen, like I could write my name down and put my own name in my shoes so if someone ever finds me, they know who I am. And he grabs my hand, he like presses a piece of paper, like I'm handcuffed in the front, and he presses a piece of paper and he tells me, "You're lucky. This is your brother's phone number. He saved your life. Look, don't get up. Count to 100. Don't turn around. Don't make me come back. Count to 100. And I'm just thinking to myself, is this really happening? Is he really gonna let me go? I hear the vehicle move away. I'm like right away searching for, you know, handcuffs. Like I know he put the key in my thing, and he did. Pitch black, I can't even see, so with my hand, I could feel that. And he put a phone in my pocket. And I'm like trying to like do everything at the same time. I'm panicking. I'm trying to grab the phone, take the cuffs off. I remember just taking like compose yourself a little bit, chill. Only phone he gave me was like a, you know, like a $30 Nokia phone with a flashlight on it. That's like the first phone that came out with a little flashlight on the top. You press clear twice. And I couldn't see nothing. It was completely pitch black. Like I couldn't see the hand from my face. Like it was like, am I blind? It was just so dark, you know, there's no light. Well, it took me a little bit to look up in the sky. I could see stars. Finally, like, find a way to remove the cuffs. And I hear, like, animals around me, you know? Like, moving around, like. I can't see them. I can just see them. I can see one street, like, far away. At least a mile away. I can see, like, the shape of the shadow of a building. I don't know where I'm at. I'm looking at the phone. I was like, I know he went that way, I think, but I'm not even sure which that way it was. And I'm like, I'm gonna walk towards the street and see if someone can help me, see if someone can help me, like at least where I'm at. So it's like 3-4 in the morning. I'm walking. No service. Feeling so tired. I literally would sit on the floor and just hear animals around me. And like, I'm thinking it's cattle grazing or something. Like, you know, I'm kind of walking down the hill. So dark and so tired. I'm so tired, like I couldn't move. Like, I kept thinking, like, I've never felt this fatigued in my life. Like, I can't even pick my legs up. Then I could hear dog barking, 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 barking. And then as I'm getting close, I see like a big herd of dogs. Like, and I remember grabbing big old rocks and thinking like, these dogs are gonna kill me right here. And walking, and I see a couple little houses, like one room houses. And that building was like a small school. And I remember looking at the name of the school. I'm like kind of like knocking on their fence, like, excuse me, like, someone help me. Nobody will come up. I can imagine how that is. So that's another thing, imagine how I look. And I say, this ain't gonna work. I'm gonna walk back the other way. But that was like an uphill. It literally took me like, I don't know, an hour and a half or something. Wow, and I look in the phone and I'm walking and see, getting a little signal.
My phone rings. I just remember hearing my brother's voice. At that time, it kind of felt like forever. And just hearing his voice was like relief for me. I don't even think that I even was able to feel anything then. I couldn't, right? But it felt good to be able to hear his voice. And, you know, I'm like, where are you? And he's like,
I don't know. I'm so weak. I can't even walk. I see a light far away. I'm gonna walk towards the light.
And then he would take breaks after like 3 steps.
I see a light. I'm gonna guess that that's maybe a light on the road or something. It's just so dark. I'm just scared.
And I remember him saying,
I thought I was gonna die.
I kind of didn't want him even say that. I was like, you're not. You're going to be okay, though. You're good now.
Hurry up, come. I don't know where I'm at.
And I said, I know that you're somewhere by Lupe's Ranch. So I'm just going to head that way. I remember, like, you know, now I'm driving slow and I'm like, listen, how do I know where you're at? I'm like, to me, reality is, for me, it's like, I could be, you know, in another state. You're in another state. I don't even know. I'm going to turn on my hazard lights and flash my lights. Could you see anything? And he was like,
I see you, but bro, you are so far away. You're somewhere else. You're so far away. Keep flashing, keep flashing.
We had to hang up because, like, the battery's low, he said.
I need to save the battery.
Because he was using the flashlight. He'd call me and I'd flash my lights and turn on my hazard. He's like,
you're getting closer. You're getting closer.
Took me a good 40 minutes. I finally, like, got to him. I remember getting to the light where he was at, and I kind of just stopped the truck in the middle of the road, and I looked, and he was trying to walk up. I just seen a different person, and he was like, we're already small. He was small. He was, like, unrecognizable to me. He was filthy. And we got up. Off the truck and we just hugged and kissed, and he was like, I thought I was gonna die. I thought I was not gonna ever see you again. And he's just like holding me, like, he's small. I'm talking about, he's probably weighing 120. He probably left at 170, came back at 120. His eyes are just sunken in. I felt like I was looking at death, like that's how it looked. And he can't stay up where I'm kind of like holding him, man. I'm hugging him, we're crying, and I said, we have to go. And he's like, what about Lupe? Is he okay?
Peter still thinks he's kidnapped.
I said, don't worry about Lupe. And Lupe's like, what? I opened the door, helped him in the truck, and he has this like really loud, I'm talking about like his stench is like unbearable. I'm trying to hold back, like me gagging, you know? Like,
what did it smell like?
Every imaginable thing you could think of, like just a bad smell, just awful smell. He was locked in a room, I guess, in the summertime, where he couldn't get off the bed, and he was blindfolded for 20-something days. And when he jumped in the car, he sat backwards on that headrest and just, I just want to hold you. Now I'm driving. He's just like hugging me. Rubbing his head like, you know. Rubbing his head and just like.
Rubbing his head against yours.
Yeah.
Just holding on to you while you're driving.
And his beard was long. Big beard. Like, I think I was going to see you. Like, they're going to kill me, Jay. And he was like, you know, he asked about everyone. I'm like, they're okay, you know. And he was like, what happened? And I was like, I'm in a chapel.
Surviving El Chapo, the twins who brought down a drug lord, is hosted by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and me, Charlie Webster. Our producers are myself alongside Jackson McLennan. Research and editorial support is from Casey Hertz. Edit and sound design by Nico Palella. Original score by Ryan Sorensen. Executive produced by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson and myself, Charlie Webster. If you'd like to know more about this story, head over to lionsgatesound.com. Curtis 50 Cent Jackson presents a Lionsgate Sound and G-Unit audio production exclusively for iHeart Podcasts.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.